Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio and by remote electronic transmission. We have the Grizz that on the line, direct from La Paz, Baja California, sir. And then we also have Rick Emmett, who's a field promotions manager for Tracker Boats. And I think that there's probably a little bit more than Tracker involved in this, because from what I understand, Rick, tell me if I'm wrong, but Bass Pro is either partner or owner of a lot of different boat companies. You guys are huge.
That is correct. We own Tracker Boats, which manufactures aluminum modified and deep V boats, as well as utility boats. We own Nitro Boats, which is fiberglass fishing boats, Sun Tracker pontoon boats, Tahoe pleasure boats, Mako inshore and offshore boats, as well as just recently purchased Ranger boats, Triton boats, and Stratus boats. So yeah, there's we own a few brands out there.
No, it sounds to me like you're going to them all now. But I'll tell you what, I suspect over the last 10 years or so, with some of the problems some of these manufacturers are having, if it wasn't for you, they probably wouldn't be there. But you guys do a great job, so I applaud you on that. We also have Grizz on the line with us. And I know that Grizz has some affiliation with either Bass Pro in particular, Mercury. Grizz?
Yeah, I love Bass Pro. I mean, we just, as you know, back in December, we did that 17-day tour down the Pacific Coast. And with all of Bass Pro's equipment, with their kayaks, and they furnished us the whole trip. So yeah, Bass Pro has a special place in my heart.
Well, see, you didn't. I'm sorry, Grizz. I said you didn't mention.
Go ahead.
You didn't even mention the fishing boats that are self-powered. So you guys got everything.
Well, I'll tell you, my favorite boat, and I'm trying my damnedest, and excuse my language, to get a Mako down here in Cabo and La Paz, because I'll tell you, that Mako boat, you just can't beat it.
Oh, absolutely, and that's we're really starting to expand our Mako brand. Like I say, we have both inshore and offshore models for whatever type of fishing that you're doing. So, yeah, the Mako brand's really growing for us.
Well, David,
the Mako should be really good down here, because it's not that expensive a boat. It's a very, very good high-performance boat. And, I do a lot of offshore fishing.
Right.
So, I mean, I just think they're absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't mind, Grizz and Emmett, let's kind of jump into what we want to get into, and that is, if people are looking for a boat, what should they get? You've got the field completely covered, and I'll just tell you a quick story. One of my favorite boats, unfortunately, it broke its mooring in a storm, but was an 18-foot bass buggy, and I bought it from a paraplegic that was an avid bass fisherman. He could pull up to the dock in his electric wheelchair, drive right onto the boat, and go bass fishing. And it was great for fishing. It was great for family. It was great for, party, whatever you want to do. It's all-purpose boat, but that may not be what everybody wants. So do you have some tips on people, before they make a decision, what they should be looking for to make sure they get what they want?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the best things you can do is consult with a local dealer. And basically, it all depends on what type of fishing you're going to be doing, whether it be freshwater, saltwater, if you're going to be on large lakes, smaller bodies of water with maybe with stumps. So it just depends on what type of fishing that you'll be doing. A great boat for smaller bodies of water is an aluminum modified V, such as our Tracker Pro-Team 175, Pro-Team 190. We also have aluminum boats for bigger water, deep V boats, such as our Targa 18. So aluminum boats work great for smaller bodies of water and bigger bodies of water, and still have the durability of aluminum. Now, many people opt for a fiberglass boat, they tend to look a little bit better appearance-wise. They have gel coat and metal flake finishes and such. And once again, there's smaller fiberglass boats for smaller bodies of water. And we have up to 22-foot bass boats for larger bodies of water. And we also have what we call multi-species boats for guys that venture out in the Great Lakes even and fish for walleye or muskie and such. So as far as on the saltwater side, we spoke about our Mako brand. We have both inshore boats for bay fishing. We have offshore for guys venturing out in search of bigger fish. So yeah, it all just depends on what type of fishing you're doing, and consult a local dealer, and they're usually in the best position to help you select what will work best for you. But one very important feature that I always stress is do not purchase the boat with a motor that's underpowered. Now, we tend to package our boats with a standard motor that we feel fits the average. We're always concerned about a price point, so we'll price it where it's not underpowered, but it just fits like a normal usage. If you're going to load your boat down with more gear, two or three people, then I've never heard anyone ever complain about purchasing a larger motor and not being happy with it. But if you purchase one that's underpowered, you're going to be unhappy with it. So you always want to go as high a horsepower as you can and still keep within your budget.
Yeah. Well, another thing about deep water, blue water fishing, when you go out there, I always tell everybody, don't go, like you said, don't under horsepower your boat. It could be the difference between life and death. When you're going out there and you got swells coming in and you see a storm coming in, you want to have something to your hind end home.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, when you can't see land out there, your life depends on getting back in. So, and that's a lot of times where even on larger boats, dual motor applications come into play.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is accidents. You want to have something that's going to get you to shore as fast as possible. You don't need all that extra power, maybe, but you want to have it. It's nice to have that power.
Right.
One quick question, and because unfortunately it's a very limited segment in time, and we're going to have to get you back on and spend a lot more time on it. But let's just mention fiberglass aluminum. Now, fiberglass is heavier, but it's also smoother and quieter. Do you have any comments on the two, just real quickly?
Yeah, it's it kind of depends on the body of water that you fish. Some people love aluminum boats with their durability. You can pull the boat up on the bank, hop over stumps, and not have to worry about chipping fiberglass or gel coat, and it's perfect for you. Now, there's others that prefer, appearance-wise and stability-wise, the fiberglass models, and there's not one choice that's better than the other. They both are great for the purposes they're designed for. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of up to the individual.
Okay.
I personally prefer fiberglass, but if you're fishing some backwaters with a lot of stumps and you're jumping off stumps a lot, then the durability of aluminum might be perfect for you.
Okay. Well, I guess the main thing is that don't go out and buy it because it looks nice and has a lot of power. You want to make sure that it's going to fit what your needs are and what you're going to be using it for, and maybe if you've got kids, you want to consider that. But it looks like this segment is quickly coming to a close, so I would like to thank you, Rick, and I know that this is not enough time, so we're going to bring you back and let's see if we can get a little bit deeper into the subject. So we appreciate that, and of course, just go to BassPro.com and click their site and find anything you want.
Yes, and also TrackerBoats.com, Nitro Boats, Sun Tracker. We've got each of our brands has its own website. So yeah, but you can go to BassPro.com and click on whichever boats you're looking for.
Okay, thanks, Rick. We'll talk to you real soon.
You're
Grizz, don't you go anywhere.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
first named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico, still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
Fish ain't biting, fish ain't biting, fish ain't biting around here no more.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Captain Karen Hookham. And she must like the music because she's dancing. But anyway, we have been talking to Grizz, and Grizz is an interesting personality, and we're going to go in the next segment find out about some interesting things that he's been doing. And he also has multiple shows, covers virtually all of Latin America, and now in the last year or two, he's pretty much taken over the U.S. You're on like five or seven different channels.
Nine networks now, John, 49 different countries, and 253 households.
Well, obviously,
million households.
There's not that many in the U.S., so you must have some good coverage. Anyway, let's get back in. We want to talk to David Greenwood, who's, production planning manager for Suzuki Marine.
That's correct.
And
how are you today?
Fantastic. And, of course, Grizz is always great. But what we'd like to do is, first of all, Suzuki Marine has been around for a long time. A lot of people seem to think that they're just kind of new to the field. But their history actually exceeds most of the other outboard motor companies. Is that right?
That is correct. And, in fact, that's a good question. Cause in fact, this year we're celebrating our 50th anniversary of producing outboards.
Wow.
So it's our 50th anniversary this year.
I bet you didn't know that, did you, Grizz?
No.
Nope. Okay.
No, I didn't. And I love Suzuki.
Yeah. Well, I think that as far as the quality, the power, and for what you pay, there's nothing that comes out ahead of them. But let's get into Suzuki Marine. I know that you have more than a couple of different outboard motors. So let's try and find out which ones we want for which boat. So first of all, can you give us some parameters? Let's just say that you want to repower your boat. Or buy a new one, for that matter. But let's say you want to repower your boat. Give us some reasons. First of all, why would you want to repower your boat if what you've got still sort of works?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, and with today's, you know, with the quality of the product in today, you need to first ask yourself, you know, why am I looking at buying a new boat? Did my family get bigger? Is the boat or the motor getting tired and it's time to repower? So you really need to address, you know, those issues. And then so far as matching, you know, the motor to the boat, one thing you don't want to do is exceed the horsepower rating of the boat, of the vessel itself. So that's a very critical thing to do these days that you don't want to do.
And that's usually on the plaque on the boat somewhere, right?
Yes. Yeah, so generally, you'll find what they call a BIA, Boating Industry Association, plaque that's attached to the boat, which, you know, provides the information on it is what the manufacturer suggests is safe for his boat. Particular vessel.
Right, but would you say that most boat manufacturers don't put the maximum horsepower on because it's more expensive?
Well, you know, a lot of boat manufacturers, what they'll do is they'll use their boat as a price leader, you know, and maybe not put the maximum horsepower on the boat just to get it more an entry level to the average consumer. However, most boats, when they're rated out, their maximum horsepower is still a little on the conservative side as far as for safety is concerned. So I always recommend if the boat's rated for 200 horsepower or 300 horsepower, what have you, I would definitely choose that maximum horsepower and affix that to the transom.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. Now, smaller motors get better horsepower. So
giving gas mileage.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're correct. Well, they do that both. Yes. But yeah, you get the smaller motors are cheaper to buy and they get better mileage. So depending on what you're going to be using it for, it's like got a pontoon boat you're going to use on a lake that you're not going to be pulling a water skier with.
Right.
And I have a 50-horse four-stroke on it, and you couldn't use 5 gallons of gas in a day if you tried. But it wasn't exactly as a speedster. So fortunately, the lake wasn't that big. But give us some tips on how to match, you know, the best thing to do. Obviously, if you can, go to the maximum horsepower rating because you're still conservative and it gives you the safety and the ability to move around. But give us some ideas on, you know, what people should be looking for when they're looking to repower.
Well, one thing you want to do is once you do repower, you'd want to every motor has a recommended operating range. Most four strokes will be somewhere around 5,500 to 6,100 RPM for a four stroke. So what you want to do is you want to select the propeller that allows the outboard to operate within that recommended range at wide open throttle. With the normal load that you'd be carrying. If you go out with a family of five or six on your vessel, that's how you should prop it out to make sure that it can do that. Because if you don't allow the engine to spool up into its recommended RPM range, it's like trying to ride a bicycle in high gear uphill. You're lugging yourself, and you're just going to put extra load on the motor itself, and take the life of the engine away.
Hmm, interesting.
So you definitely want to, you know, be within the recommended operating range.
Okay. And the of course, I don't even know if they still do. You guys still do two strokes?
We do not. We're the first company to convert our two strokes over to four strokes in here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And four strokes, I mean, it's a fact of life. Four stroke is definitely the technology of choice when it comes to outboards. Today.
Well, you know, the problem that you have, and I think Suzuki has found a cure for this, if I recall, is that you pull your boat up to the dock, you start the motor, and you load it up, and then you go to drive away, so you don't hear anything, so you try and start the motor.
Right. Yeah. We've got what we call a start protection system on our engines. I mean, because the engines, like you say, John, are so quiet, you know, the customer will start the engine up, go to the bow, untie the dock lines, and he can't hear the motor, so he returns back to the helm, thinks the engine's not running, he turns the key and grinds the starter.
Yeah.
We've devised a system where once you start the engine and the engine's been running for 5 seconds, you can turn the ignition key to the start position all you want, and it will not engage the starter.
Well, and the problem, the reason you have to do that is they're so quiet.
Exactly.
Well, you know, let me tell you why I like Suzuki, other than the power. I got a 300 on my offshore boat. You don't hear it. I even made a commercial for you guys and said, did you hear that?
Great.
Did you hear
no.
that? No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Because Suzuki, because we make television shows, Suzuki is one, if not the only boat that we can use shotgun mics when we're filming and don't have to go to clip-ons, because the motor does not overpower our microphones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's incredible. I can be filming and doing the show in the back of the boat right next to the motor, and the motor noise does not interfere. I can't say that with the other people.
I've heard that a lot. You know, a lot of the different boat shows that I'll attend where we'll have product in the water, we'll have the engines idling and running, and you know, people will walk up to us and say, can you start the motor so I can hear it? And tell me it's running. It's
I
running.
Said,
you know?
I can start the motor, but you still won't hear it.
Right, exactly. But Grizz is right. Our motors are extremely quiet, and we pride ourselves in that.
Well, you know, the other thing, talking about the difference in technology, if you've got, when you started off saying, you've got a boat that works, you know, it works for what you need it to, and maybe you can redo the upholstery, but, you know, when you have a boat and a motor, and they're basically equal, because you know, you can take a boat that's got a decent condition and put a new motor on it, you got a new boat.
Absolutely. And, you know, in today's technology, a lot of people, like I said earlier, are going to four strokes, and they are repowering, because you know, technology in manufacturing boats has come a long ways as well, and boats are lasting longer, and people are choosing to repower versus, you know, actually buying a
complete
package.
Is there a cost benefit to repowering?
My motto is, it's cheaper to repair than to replace, you know, as far as the boat is, the complete boat itself. So, you know, in my view, I'd rather replace, you know, the motor versus trying to
replace. Well, I think what I was getting at is the technology guys are using now with the fuel efficiency and the longevity and the ease that, you know, you get some of that money back.
Oh, absolutely. Our four strokes compared to the Suzuki two stroke that it replaces, You're talking anywhere from 18 to 25% better fuel economy when you're going horsepower to horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
There's a considerable savings, and with the four-stroke technology, you're not consuming two-cycle oil.
That's right. And that that oil is something you may not think about it in two-stroke, because you use a fair amount, and that oil is a lot more expensive than gas.
Absolutely. We've done research where if an avid boater on a weekend uses his boat quite a bit, he can go through 1 or 2 gallons of oil, and the oil's prices, they vary from anywhere from $35 to $65, $75 a gallon.
Right. And I'll tell you what.
What do you think about that?
I'll tell you what. There's nothing better than to plan a weekend, or let's say nothing worse than to plan a weekend, and you get all set up, everything's geared, you put the boat in the water, you know, you're ready to go. Everybody's ready to go. You got your life jackets on. You turn the key, and guess what?
Doesn't start.
Right.
I've seen many sad faces on a lot of young children at the docks.
It's
bad.
Yeah. So you want something that's reliable and safe and fuel efficient. So I think Suzuki's got that. But we're pretty much out of time. So real quickly, Suzuki Marine, do you got any ideas on how to get in touch with you and get more information?
SuzukiMarine.com.
Oh, okay. And you got dealers. I know you got dealers all over the country.
Yeah, we've got dealers. And in fact, on our website at the top right-hand corner, we have a dealer locator.
Okay.
Type in your zip code, and it'll give you all the Suzuki Marine dealers in your area.
Fantastic. Well, you did a great job. Unfortunately, not enough time. So, again, we're going to have to bring you back and talk about that. We want to thank you very much, David. And I'll be in touch with you shortly. And good fishing.
All right, John. Thank you for having me.
You betcha. Okay, it looks like we're pretty much out of here. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Grizz is going to be coming up, and he's got some interesting things to talk about. And from here on out, it's the Grizz Show.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
It's a beautiful day, oh, what do you say? Let's go fishing. What a wonderful way to spend the day just a fishing. Though the water on the lake is smooth as glass, oh, we might catch a sunny, we might catch a bass. Oh, what do you say? Let's go.
Fix me some coffee and a hundred bun jumped in the pickup.
Okay, we are back with Fish Talk Radio, and welcome to the Grizz Show.
The
second. Well, John, you didn't have to go that far.
Adventures.
But you would let me carry it away like I do in SOB radio.
There you go.
That's exactly what we're going to do.
There you go. ASOB.
First of all, what I want to do is I want to touch about the fishing. The fishing is absolutely incredible. It started picking up really good in the 95 and the 1150 down right off the coast there of Cabo San Lucas. It's really doing good. On the Pacific side, it's really down. But right there in the middle in the 95 and 11, they are catching 4, 5, 6 marlin every day. I mean, it doesn't matter if you know how to fish or not, they're eating. So I do want to talk to you that. But what I want to tell you is what I've been doing, which has just been absolutely incredible. For 2.5 years, I have been begging the federal government to give me a permit to film the islands in the Sea of Cortez. Well, 10 days ago, I get a telephone call And it just shocked me right out of my pants. It said, this lady calls and said, Mr. Ritz, this is the federal government. And I'm going, oh, my God, the taxes or what happened? Could you come down to the federal building? Well, I don't mind telling you, John, I was a little bit nervous when they said that. So I said, sure, I'll be more than happy to come down there. I go down there, and they said, congratulations, here's your permit for all the islands.
Here we go.
Whoa.
There we go.
So there we said,
wow.
That's great. We're headed out. So we got our gear together. We got our camera people together, and we headed out for the islands. Not only did we film the islands, we fished, John. And I mean, not a little bit. We fished a lot. And we caught almost everything you can imagine. I even caught one fish that I'd never caught before, about a 6-pound fish. It's beautiful. If you go to my website, to Mike Rich, you'll be able to look it up and see it. I had no idea what this fish was. It fought like a dog. And when I pulled it up, it had teeth like a dog. But it's beautiful color with blue face, brown. I mean, my God, I'm looking at it. I said, what are you? And so I took a picture, and we sent it up on Facebook. And I'll tell you what, they came out with all the answers, said it was a hawkfish.
Yeah.
Now, I never seen a hawkfish before. Never even heard of a hawkfish
well,
before.
I know eagles can fish.
Huh?
The hawks can fish. I've seen them take fish out of the water.
That's ospreys, John. Anyway, we got a hawkfish, so we got that. Now, we kept on jumping islands and fishing what looked like could be good halibut water. And what happens? I pull a 42-pound halibut in. I mean, my Lord, I never caught one that big. In Alaska, yes, but not a Pacific halibut. Never. And the people are shaking their heads thinking this might be a new record for the Sea of Cortez. We hope so, because we like to do that. We got it all on film. And then, John, what we did, something really weird that I never did, we fished all night and filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we caught snapper after snapper, grouper after grouper. I mean, it was just awesome. But it is really a pain in your butt to tie on a hook when you break one of those big babies off. I mean, can you imagine? I can't see good anyway anymore. But then when it's dark and the boat's rocking and you're trying to tie on a hook, I didn't lose a fish for a bad knot. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't easy. And it was a great time. Then, we're staying on this island called the Palito.
Oh, yeah.
This island has been inhabited by people for 5 generations. The man that lives on there, the oldest man, is 69 years old and has been living on the island for 69 years. His wife is 39, and she's been on the island for 39 years. So they have 8 families that live on this, and it's about acre and a half. They have 8 homes on it, and it's in the middle of nowhere. So we're asking, we're eating with these folks. The lady was so wonderful. She cooked for us and cooked for us and just took care of us like we were her kids. And we ask, there's a San Jose Island. It's beautiful. Why are you on this giant rock? I mean, you can't even bury anybody there if you die.
Yeah, and the San Jose...
It's a rock.
Yeah, and the other island you're talking about is just a short distance away, right?
What?
The San Jose Island is a short distance from this
one. It's about 20 minutes away by boat. So we're going, why? And they said, there's no bugs here.
No.
And I said, what? And they said, that's the reason you're on this giant rock? And they said, yeah, we don't have bugs. Well, I didn't really understand it until I went into the estuaries of San Jose. And my God, as soon as the sun starts going down, it looks like clouds or smoke coming at you, and it's mosquitoes and no-see-ums, and everything that can bite you and suck your blood comes flying out of the mangroves right at you, right in the middle of the boat. So, I mean, we literally had to start up and go out fast. But in this estuary, we caught roosters. We caught everything. And then, imagine this. down. We're going down the boat, okay? We're headed down. All at once I hear a splash. There's no captain. I'm still going, and I'm going, holy crap, what happened to my captain? And I look in the water, he comes jumping up, and he's got this big conch.
Oh.
Big snail conch. He holds it up. He goes, look at this one I found. And the boat's still going. So he swims as he can, jumps onto the boat, and we said, hey, Felipe, can you do that again? This is a great
yeah,
television.
we got to take
it. And he says, hell yeah, I'll do it again.
Oh my God.
So this time he doesn't do it natural. He does a swan dive, goes down and gets it, and he literally jumps out with his giant conch in his mouth, smiling. So he made it look like those Olympic dances that they do in the swimming pool. But I want to tell you what, it was fantastic. We also had a ghost visit us that they call it the pirate ghost, which is pretty unique on the island. The last time I was there, I seen something. I didn't want to say anything. This time I seen it, so I said something to the people that live there, and they call him the pirate ghost, and everyone has seen it. I went outside to do my business in the middle of the night. Because, you know, John, the older you get, you just can't sleep all night without going to the bathroom.
Okay,
I don't
Chris.
Know what in the Chris. World it has to do with
Chris,
getting
Chris,
old.
Chris, we're talking about fishing here, buddy.
I'm going there, John. I'm
okay.
talking about being in and having to go to the bathroom when you get old.
Okay.
I don't know why that is. But anyway, so I'm out there, and this thing walks right in front of me, and
oh.
I go back in to the fisherman. I says, what is this? And they said, we see him almost every night. He just walks around on this island.
Wow.
And they said they think he's a pirate that came in hunting pearls or something. So anyway, I could go on and on and on, John, about this wonderful experience of these islands. It's absolutely incredible. The sea lions, it's some of the largest sea lion colonies in the world. Every island has their sea lion colony. You can get right up next to them. They're not prey to people. It's just a great place, a wonderful place. And, you know, the people that come down to La Paz, if they even ask, they can get right out to these islands.
Grizz, just a little bit of a point of information. A lot of people think of Mexico as being, let's just, you know, not third world, but, you know, not as protective of their environment that we are in the United States. But surprisingly enough, they're probably even more so. And the islands that you're talking about.
The federal government is, John. Mm-hmm. The federal government is very protective. Like I said, 2.5 years for us to get, not to go to the islands, but to film on the islands.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they're very, very protected over it. They don't want, I think they look up north to the neighbors and see how everybody threw their beer bottles out and their dirty yeah. diapers out on the beaches and stuff up in, you know, the United States. They uh-huh. say, we don't want that happening to our land.
Well, most of the islands in the Sea of Cortez are preserves or are...
Every one of them is a preserve.
Okay.
Every one of them is under federal protection. And that goes for any island anywhere in the boundaries of Mexico.
Hmm.
So, you know, they are protecting, they are doing studying. We have great biologists coming down, you know, doing, you know, studies on, well, we've got so many whales down here. We've got so many sea lions, different types of fish down here. We just got to learn to take care of it. And, you know, the problem down here isn't the Mexicans. The problem down here are mostly the Americans. They come down here with spear guns and want to shoot everything under the water and, you know, they want to take coolers and coolers and coolers and coolers of fish back to the United States to give to all their friends. And that's a real problem down here.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, you're probably one of the strongest proponents for catch and release. But
yes,
you know, if things are done, you know, first of all, obey the law, and they're designed to maintain the fishery. So you go out and you don't you take two Dorado, you don't take 20. But, and then some of the fish that you're allowed to take, like the roosters and marlin, you know, sportsmen very much frown on killing those.
Oh, I think
but Grizz is going to be, well, we're going to get him back on. I think we've got a tough connection. So, but that's not a problem because we're going to take a break, and then we're going to finish up. So go ahead.
No, so we want to remind everybody to listen to Fish Talk Radio on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And to go to Real Fun Adventures,
mm-hmm.
right? You have a trip coming up.
Oh, yeah, we've got a couple of them. We've got a great deal on a trip to Alaska that's unbelievable. Just go to fishtalkradio.com. You can listen to the show as many times as you want. While you're there, visit Real Fun Adventures and see if you can hook up and we'll go fishing with Grizz. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in.